you're looking to expand and you need to buy more raw materials or goods to then go out and sell, if you're only relying on your sales and your cash flows, you have a negative working capital system, which is problematic, and it's really hard to grow incrementally.
Welcome to the B2B Breakthrough Podcast. We're here to bring you all the best knowledge, insights, and strategies from e-commerce experts, successful business owners, and the team at Alibaba.com that you'll need to grow your business and achieve your next big breakthrough. I'm your host, Sierra Cristo.
Inflation, am I right? It's a doozy. We feel it as consumers and as business owners. More than half of businesses in the U.S. rank inflation as their number one concern. And 61% plan to or are actively paying for their business expenses on a company card. So we're talking all things finance today with two incredible guests. Joining us from the wonderful world of finance is our partner and friend, Michael Spellfogel, CEO of Cardless. Cardless powers the new Alibaba.com Business Edge credit card that could be helping you offset business expenses. He's here to shed some light on how to contend with our current economic climate and build credit for your business. And sharing her insights and solutions for small businesses is my dear colleague, Iran Lee, who leads buyer benefit strategies to ensure smooth experiences on Alibaba.com. Iran and Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's nice to be here.
We're really happy to have you. We have a lot that we want to get into today, but I want to take a moment and just kind of set the stage for who our audience is, who the folks are that are using Alibaba.com. And in my 2 years at the company, I've met some really incredible business owners, and they've all got these diverse models powering their businesses. They're solopreneurs, side hustlers, inventors, designers. They all have different talents and backgrounds. So it's kind of difficult to paint them with this homogenous brush and say, you know, business owners is one distinct group. But, you know, there are a couple things that unify everyone. It's their drive. You know, no one is complacent. I've never met a complacent business owner. And the second is this universal struggle with financing and funding and looking for the next grant or accelerator and or whatever solution is available to them. And it is an ongoing struggle for a lot of them. So, Iran, can you start us off here and help us understand a little bit more who the core users are on Alibaba.com?
Absolutely, Sarah. So Alibaba.com serves a diverse range of business buyers. So we can generally categorize them into three main groups. So the first is the small and medium-sized business owners. So they are independent retailers, e-commerce sellers, and wholesalers who rely on Alibaba.com for bulk sourcing at a competitive prices. So many are entrepreneurs running their own online stores or brick-and-mortar shops. And the second type of buyers we see on Alibaba.com are those procurement specialists and special supply chain managers. So they are from larger businesses and organizations, and they often have dedicated teams responsible for sourcing inventory, raw materials, or components from global suppliers. And a third group of buyers we see are manufacturers and product developers, like they are inventors, designers, private label brands who use Alibaba.com to find suppliers that can help them bring their products to the market. They often customize or develop goods from scratch. So regardless of their business models, these buyers use Alibaba.com for efficient and cost-effective sourcing solutions that allow them to maintain competitive in this global market.
And can you talk to us a little bit about how these groups of buyers are financing their sourcing? What are those common methods they've been using to date?
A lot of our small businesses are still paying the suppliers directly with credit cards, bank transfers, or digital payments like PayPal. So it's simple, but it can tie up a lot of cash. A second type of method we see is from suppliers, like a supplier give them a payment terms. So some suppliers, they do offer payment terms, but this usually depends on how strong the buyer's relationship is with that particular supplier. And the third type we see is business loans and credit cards. Many of our buyers, especially here in the US, use business credit cards or loans to help manage cash flow. A lot of the business owners lean on company cards, not just for financing, but also for rewards and expense tracking. And lastly, we also see a lot of buy now, pay later usage. So this is becoming a big deal in payment. Instead of paying everything up front, businesses can split payments into installments, making it easier to stock up the inventory without draining their cash flow. So at the end of the day, I think businesses are looking for more flexibility. They need financing options that keep operations running smoothly without putting too much strain on their cash flow.
Totally. And this is, I mean, this is a unique example for our platform in terms of the breakdown, but looking for those flexible solutions is a much broader problem. So, Michael, I want to come to you and talk a little bit more broadly about the ecosystem. And can you tell us a little bit more about the financing options that are widely available for business owners across the board?
You know, I think it's so interesting, the vantage point Alibaba has and where the company sits. We found that the people using this credit card are largely in that first bucket. They're people that are sole proprietors, mom and pop shop. They're, you know, hustling and building a brand or running a small business at the same time. We do see that third bucket as well, folks that work for larger companies and are looking for distribution or building custom goods and materials. So online e-commerce providers, we see people that build out custom shoe companies, apply for cards, things like that. And the common thread is people want rewards or people want cash flow benefits. And in terms of what is the most impactful for businesses today, I'd say certainly one of those things, but that cash flow piece is probably the most important. The number one cited benefit we offer in our credit cards is 60-day payment terms. So you have longer time duration to pay for your charge on Alibaba.com when you use this credit card. So we want to make this the default method of payment. And for people that fit into those buckets, they're running their own business or they're working to source materials that, you know, then takes time to sell and get cash flows from. You want to be able to help them with that financing at the same time.
What is the biggest challenge with traditional payment methods that people have been facing prior to options like this?
Well, what I've seen from our vantage point is a lot of small businesses are actually using personal consumer credit cards to buy things for their businesses. And that indicates to me two things. Number one, either their business is nascent, it hasn't got, you know, traditional SMB cards set up or banking infrastructure designed for businesses, or in, you know, more common cases, that infrastructure doesn't exist at all. So people have no other option but to use a personal card, or they don't benefit from those cash flow options that larger businesses certainly do. So this card, in a way, is meant to level the playing field. It's meant to empower brands and small businesses of all stripes and sizes to get access to critical financial products. So it's much more beneficial to a company in that position to put a charge on an SMB card, earn rewards, or use those cash flow benefits versus, you know, an everyday credit card you use for personal expenses instead.
Part of the perk, I would imagine, for a small business owner using a personal credit card in a situation like this is building those points and just trying to benefit from that in a business context personally. And there's some overlap there, I'm sure. And building your credit. Now, building your credit is something that we all understand as adults in the world, you know, using personal credit cards. But how can having those benefits really work for you and for your business? What's at stake building business credit with a card like this?
It's such a good question. And a lot of people don't realize this, but there are consumer credit bureaus. You've probably heard of them, Experian, Equifax, TransUnion. But then there are commercial bureaus too. SBFE is one that Cardless uses today. So the commercial bureaus do sort of the same thing the consumer bureaus do, but for small business use cases. So they look at your payment history, your business history, how much revenue you've generated, and your cash flows, and try and get a sense of your riskiness as a borrower on the commercial side of things. So when we underwrite customers today for Alibaba's business credit card, we're actually using both consumer credit as well as commercial credit. And for people that run businesses that are newer or that don't have business data, we'll actually help them build their business credit by furnishing good payment history to business bureaus, not just the consumer bureau.
Interesting. That's a distinction that I don't often make as someone who doesn't own a business and can't relate. So I think it brings with itself its own set of challenges. And Iran, I know you're really close to the business owners on our platform and how they're managing these situations. You know, beyond separating those finances and getting your house in order, how can you mitigate these challenges for our users? Or what are some tools and features that they can leverage to feel a little bit more secure in these massive purchases?
So you know, Alibaba.com is all here like to provide a suite of protections and tools to really mitigate this kind of situations, right? So we are committed to making global trade easier and more secure for business owners. And we have several tools that, you know, I'm going to mention it one by one. So first one is a trade assurance. So this is our building protection program that safeguards orders from payments to delivery. And the second tool that we offer is a flexible payment options. So beyond traditional methods, we've introduced solutions like buy now, pay later. So buy now, pay later really allows eligible businesses to defer payment while securing inventory today. So this is incredibly helpful for managing cash flow. And then the third tool that we provide is the Alibaba.com Business Edge credit card. So this new business credit card, of course, powered by Cardless, gives our business owners more purchasing power with cashback rewards and financing options that really fit their needs. So ultimately, business purchases are larger, right? So they require more protection. We get it. And they demand more flexible financing tools than personal purchases. So our goal is really to provide these solutions to our business owners so they can focus on growth rather than financial roadblocks.
I mean, growth is the cornerstone of all of this. It's
exactly
the main driving factor. Are you finding that there is any reluctance to adopting a credit card, or if there's any bigger concerns around these flexible, you know, maybe unfamiliar financing options for small business owners?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, there are a few big reasons that we see that some of the business owners hesitate to use financing options. First, there is just a fear of debt and the repayment uncertainty. So especially for those newer entrepreneurs, and they probably feel like taking on debt can feel risky, and they're worried about overextending themselves and losing control over their cash flow, which is completely understandable. And then there is a concern about the hidden fees or inflexible terms. So like business owners really value transparency. And then traditional financing can sometimes come with a little bit complicated terms with fluctuating interest rate and surprise fees, which can make them wary of borrowing. And then finally, we know that some businesses just prefer the simplicity of paying upfront. So they like the idea of paying as they go, even if it means them missing out on growth opportunities that come with more flexible credit solutions.
One of the reasons we started Cardless in the first place was for that very reason you called out. I think there's a lack of transparency in financial services in general. Credit cards oftentimes in the US have a negative perception or connotation, and we're bringing visibility back to that space that sometimes didn't, you know, offer that. So things that Cardless does that I think are quite unique is we're digital first. So we'll actually give people instant access to their credit card number. They can use it right away. We really built this brand to bring that level of ownership back to financial services and empower business owners to take control of their financial livelihoods through the product and through the actual offering itself.
Michael, I want to talk to you a little bit more broadly about advice that you have for a small business owner, whether they're a sole proprietor or, you know, working with a small team, on how to build that credit worthiness and feel more confident in this decision.
Yeah, it's such an important conversation. And I think it's one that people don't always have out in the open because there's definitely a stigma around credit, especially on the consumer side we have. So I think, you know, the number one word of advice I have, and this is speaking as someone who has stewarded credit cards, which I don't always love owning up to, but you get good context and experience from lending businesses like banks. I think managing your credit responsibly is the most important thing as a consumer and also as a small business owner. Debt is a very powerful thing. People know how to wield it to their advantage and use it to improve their cash flows, to get leverage on their businesses. But when mismanaged, it becomes incredibly problematic, and it can create systems and outcomes that are bad for people and for businesses. So I think that sort of use transcends consumer versus business. Using credit responsibly is really important. But SMBs can have a leg up. The financial products that are out there are getting much better. The Alibaba credit card is a great example of that. Giving people the flexibility to choose between cash flow or rewards. They can literally toggle it on and off in the checkout flow. And, you know, perhaps most importantly is the structural components of lending, credit cards, and business side. They earn more interchange. The rewards are better. So they're really intended to support the end user and change the way that businesses interact with their financial services providers and give them those cash flow benefits, most importantly. So you can spread out when you pay back the purchase of all the inventory and goods you're buying and then turning around and selling.
And how does that benefit them in the long run when we talk about scaling your small business?
It allows you to get access to capital more quickly, and that is the lifeblood of any small business. So, you know, if you're looking to expand and you need to buy more raw materials or goods to then go out and sell, if you're only relying on your sales and your cash flows, you have a negative working capital system, which is problematic, and it's really hard to grow incrementally. So if you're good about your cash flows and you understand you're going to make more money over time, you can borrow against that future cash flow stream, use your credit card.
Is the complexity of sourcing holding you back? Are you getting overwhelmed by information in an endless search? Now sourcing for your business has never been easier. Meet Axio, the world's first AI sourcing engine that helps you source like a pro with 5 key features. You'll get product inspiration that leverages real-time market data from comprehensive web insights, social media trends, and B2B knowledge. Generate detailed requirements to find the perfect match from AI-verified products and suppliers through Axio's multimodal search. Use Super Comparison to easily discover and compare millions of products from leading suppliers, focusing on the best-selling and most competitive options. With Axio Page, you'll get AI-generated encyclopedia pages that compile verified product information for each SKU. And finally, leverage Axio Agent to streamline negotiations with conversation guidance, real-time summaries, and direct answers about products and suppliers without having to browse detail pages. Head over to axio.ai today. That's A-C-C-I-O.ai to try Axio for free and start sourcing like a pro.
So I just want to take a quick moment to address the elephant in the room, being tariffs. So Iran, I want to talk to you a little bit about this. I know that this is a concern that's been brewing for a while now among small business owners, among consumers. And I mean, simply put, higher tariffs means that business owners need more access to that capital and more flexible solutions. So how are you finding small business owners are navigating this particular challenge?
So one big strategy that they're using is diversifying their supplier networks. So they're looking at the suppliers in different regions, really just to keep the cost down, to keep it under control. So another approach that we're seeing is using financing tools to maintain purchasing power. So many of our business owners are turning to flexible credit solutions to help them buy in bulk without straining their cash flow. We're also seeing businesses placing larger orders just to secure better discounts. So when they have access to credit, they can take advantage of the bulk pricing and reduce their cost per unit. So finally, many businesses are negotiating with their suppliers. So whether it's for better pricing, extended payment terms, or bundled deals, so stronger supplier relationships can really go a long way in managing rising costs.
And my perspective is to add real quick, the hardest part about the tariffs is the volatility of it. You know, there was a 25% proposal in Mexico, Canada, that was paused at least for the time being. China at 10%, you know, 10% is a meaningful tariff. And ultimately, you know, our view is that's passed on to the end customer. And that makes, you know, life harder for everyone involved. And like Iran said, that makes the access to financial products, access to lending capital, payment terms like 60 days and cash flow benefits for businesses even more important. So I think products like the Alibaba credit card are going to continue to gain in prominence at times where there's uncertainty.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, you mentioned cards like Alibaba's. And yes, there are a lot of great business cards on the market for, you know, to find solutions like this. So, but I want to talk about the different user that we cater to with ours. Iran, can you talk to me a little bit about what the Business Edge credit card does and why do we even need it to exist?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the truth is that the traditional business credit cards don't always work for Alibaba.com buyers. That's because our buyers, especially those e-commerce sellers and small business owners, have some unique challenges. So for example, they deal with high upfront costs for things like samples and customization fees. And then their products sometimes have shorter life cycles, so they need to move inventory fast. So while they want to buy in bulk for better pricing, they don't always have the cash on hand to do it. So that's where Alibaba.com Business Edge credit card comes in. So it gives them more flexibility to manage those costs without slowing down the growth, and also rewards them for business purchases and provides extra protection. So all in a way that's tailored to global sourcing.
Yeah, it's an incredibly niche category, and it's great that there is finally...
That's right.
Going back to some of the archetypes, some of the different kinds of business owners that use our platform, there's so much diversity in that group. But Michael, I was hoping you could talk to me a little bit about what kind of user could benefit from this the most. You know, could you paint a picture of the ideal cardholder for this product?
Yeah, of course. It's something we spend a lot of time thinking through as we craft the value proposition. Who is the intended audience? Who's going to get this? Who's going to benefit from this the most? And, you know, look at the benefits we're offering. So if you need or you have a problem with your item, there's, you know, extended order protection on it. And there's the regular day-to-day rewards, which people come to expect, not just on Alibaba, but bonus rewards in different categories related to business, shipping and online ads and things like that. And then, of course, that 60-day payment term. So I think the people that benefit from this the most are small business owners that buy frequently in Alibaba. They're not doing this as a casual thing every year, every couple of years, but this is the go-to way that they're supplying their business, and they're coming back to Alibaba.com every few months or every few weeks to buy more. So that frequency is really important. Businesses that have a need for changing how their cash flows work, this product is great for. And if you combine it with the rewards and benefits the card offers, if you're a frequent Alibaba.com shopper, that's the perfect combination.
Yeah. And so that long-term payoff comes into play here as well in terms of reshaping the way that your cash flow works and your entire financial setup.
I mean, if you think about the small business owners that already are using the card every day, they're using a top of wallet. They want to get more rewards. They want to be more engaged with Alibaba. And for their business, the card's a game changer because it gives them the opportunity to really grow their business in a way that might not otherwise be possible.
You know, we were just talking about this micro use case of a single user and how it benefits their business. Now, when we look at things from the Alibaba.com perspective, how does the use of this credit card with this audience reshape the purchasing habits and processes? What do you anticipate seeing from this user group as a whole moving forward?
Right. So I think we're really hoping to see this group of buyers first of all, have a good habit of using credit, right? Like we want to see them having leaning more towards using the credit card, start using more flexible financing solutions. So I think that's really what we're hoping to see for these group of buyers.
Great. I want to pivot us a little bit to talk about the broader landscape again and the future of digital credit in e-commerce. Michael, you've been in this industry for a while and you're so connected to what's happening in this space. Can you talk to us a bit about what's next for digital lending and how AI, alternative credit scoring, or blockchain play a role in this environment, in this movement?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think the world is changing quickly and AI plays a large part in that. Things that I think are going to happen in the next 5 years are that consumers and small businesses are going to default to getting their financial services, not through traditional banks and brick and mortar branches, but through brands that they know, that they trust, and that they interact with on a frequent basis. So I wouldn't be surprised to see more consumers gravitate towards financial products issued by brands like Alibaba. You know, Cardless helps work with Alibaba to understand a business's cash flows and financial livelihood before they ever apply for the product to see if it could be a good fit for them. And I think we'll see that trend continue with more and more brands using data they have access to get a better understanding of a brand or a, you know, an SMB or a consumer's financial livelihood, and then build products that are AI enabled to make that experience better, whether it's chatbots for customer service, whether it's better data sharing to give offers that are relevant to them and their business. But I think those changes are going to happen at a pretty record pace over the next couple of years.
There's so much to learn. It's almost overwhelming.
Yeah.
To really weigh the options of the different products on the platform, different options to proceed with a major business purchase. And these purchases are massive. So
right.
Keeping that in mind, I want to talk about moving forward and preparing for options like this. So what can Alibaba.com buyers do? Those folks who may be interested in this credit card option, how can they prepare for integrating this into their day-to-day procurement practices?
Yeah, I think two things. So the first, I think our buyers to really evaluate on their current purchasing and cash flow situations, and then really to understand like what are they using, right? Like, do they have some cash flow constraints? That what strategy are they using now? What strategy can they use in the future? And two is really consider their growth goals, right? So if they're looking to scale their business, flexible financing options could help them tremendously in helping them secure inventory faster and then expand their product offerings. I think buyers should definitely evaluate their current situation and think about long-term how they want to grow and where they want to be, maybe in a year, in 3 years, and in 5 years.
I want to come back to the buy now, pay later option as well, because we've seen that as an option in the marketplace from a consumer perspective since 2005. It's been around for a minute and it's been steadily growing in the past 20 years. As that has been growing on the consumer side, have you seen B2B habits changing alongside that buy now, pay later option? Has that been integrated more and more on the business owner side? Is that like a competitor to digital credit?
Yeah, it definitely is. At its heart, buy now, pay later is just a moment in time financing option. And I think the reality is that there are a lot of different ways that people and businesses can finance things. The thing that I love about credit cards and what I think makes this company great is that we're not just building this one-time relationship with the customer where they say, I want to finance this big purchase, pay 6 installments and be done with it. We're actually trying to support them and build a product that is longer lasting. And it's a credit card that works in perpetuity. So we're constantly giving them access to capital.
Yeah, I would say like both buy now, pay later and the credit cards, they serve different purposes, right? So our buyers really evaluate and, use both, but maybe for different scenario, different situations. For Alibaba.com, we definitely are seeing an uptick in terms of like the number of our buyers using buy now, pay later options. We've seen some successes there, but also at the same time, like what Michael said, what buy now, pay later cannot provide you is that long-term relationship, right? That rewards that build into the credit card. So simply put that way, you don't get rewards or cashback from using buy now, pay later. So I think that's a unique feature that Alibaba.com Business Edge credit card can provide.
Yeah, it's that forward thinking mentality that's really helpful in scaling and in preparing yourselves for a prosperous future for your business, for sure. Now, speaking of the future, let's do some forecasting. I want to look 5 years down the line. Where do you feel that we will stand as when it comes to payment flexibility for business owners? What does 2030 look like?
I think it's going to look a lot like the world in China looks today. One of the reasons we called this company Cardless was because I met my co-founder, Scott, in Beijing. We were living on Peking University's campus. And in the span of a few years going back and forth from China, they went from a completely cash-focused economy to one that operated exclusively on things like Alipay and digital payments and different lending opportunities. So I think the future is cardless, literally speaking, and it's probably sooner than you think. I think in the U.S., we're going to move to that same model where people are no longer using cash. They're probably not even bringing a physical credit card around. They just have their phone and there's complete financial flexibility to finance a purchase at point of sale, to put it on a credit card, add in payment terms, turn those toggles on and off and optimize for their lives in a really flexible way.
Yeah, I think that's really cool, right? That kind of reminds me, I think it's 2-3 years ago, I visit my mom in Beijing for the first time since pandemic. So I was shocked because I hadn't been home for, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years. And that was my first time going back home. And then I literally couldn't get pay for the taxi because the taxi driver doesn't accept cash payment. So that's crazy. And then, so I would definitely agree with that. And then even now, like, I use Apple Pay pretty much everywhere, right? On the merchants where I accept Apple Pay, I pretty much just use it, just like so convenient. So definitely I would say that convenience perspective will be the future, and also transparency and the flexibility, right? So like, I'm sure that the buyers will have more and more flexible payment options in the future. So I'm really looking forward to it.
The days of cash is king is behind us, guys. We are.
I think so. We're fully cardless.
You called it, Michael. Yeah. You laid the foundation, predicted it. I love it. All right. Awesome. Well, this has been a really helpful guide. I want to ask you both, Michael, starting with you, if there are any resources that you can recommend to folks where they can find you to continue this conversation and research.
Yeah. Our website is a bunch of resources. We have a blog. We have some educational material, taking a step back from cardless. And as much as I love our LinkedIn and all the content we put out, there are a lot of other bloggers that put out great pieces of information too. You know, the Points guy was actually the first place I ever worked. They have fantastic information, more from a consumer lens, but they cover business use cases as well. And I think that online ecosystem is really helpful and getting people set up and understanding how to build a business.
Iran, do you have any resources or tools on the platform that you would like to recommend folks before we wrap up here?
Yeah, so we have a buyer central on Alibaba.com. So everything that buyers need to know, like whether it's trade assurance related or payment related, everything can be found on buyer central. But on the same time, I know like Sierra and wonderful marketing team has put together a lot of like podcasts.
And we'll link all of this in our post here on social media. So be sure to follow us on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on Facebook, all the places. And we'll keep you posted with the good stuff. Promise. All right. Well, Michael and Iran, thank you so much for chatting today. This was delightful.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
B2B Breakthrough is produced by Alibaba.com. To find out how Alibaba.com is empowering its customers with the tools, services, and resources they need to grow their business, visit Alibaba.com. And then make sure to search for B2B Breakthrough on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts.
The Alibaba.com Business Edge credit card is issued by First Electronic Bank, serviced by Cardless. Terms and conditions apply to all features discussed here. Subject to credit approval, and applicants must have an Alibaba.com account in order to be eligible.
Make sure to follow us so you don't miss future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Alibaba.com, thanks for listening.